It is 93.7 WEEI. Rich Shirtlieb, Ken Laird, Ted Johnson. We are live at Fenway Park right now. And if you have stepped outside your home for 3 seconds, you've probably seen someone in a kilt or someone rowing in the middle of the street or someone wearing a flag. And you're like, which country was that? And you have to Google it. But World Cup fever is here. And I have to be honest, it's a lot better and a lot more fun than I thought it was going to be. And outside of actually getting to the stadium, it seems to be a lot more feasible. Like, people are getting around easily, it seems like, and everyone's getting along.
Ted said his son went to the game yesterday.
Yep, had a great time. Got in there. It was no problems at all. I mean, it's awesome. Smooth sailing. Yeah, they've worked out all the kinks.
It's amazing how that was the game with the cheap seats, and the cheapest seats were like $600, right?
Oh, they were as low as 400.
Oh, they got out of 400. Okay, wow.
So that was the game to go to yesterday. And it was a good game. It was tied 1-1 for, at least the first half was a tie, and then Norway pulled away in the second half. But the seats were affordable. Getting in and out was easy, so that was the game to go to yesterday, Norway versus Iraq.
Excellent. Well, Charlie Davies, everyone knows him. He obviously is a major star and also Revs Radio, and he is somebody that we like to bring on who could set us straight when it comes to all things the World Cup and whether or not this American team has a shot, because, my God, I did not expect the performance that I saw there. Hey, Charlie, thanks for coming out with us, man. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on, guys. I'm proud to be making my debut with you guys.
Nice. There we go.
That's awesome, Charlie. Well, what a time to do it, too, because I'm literally looking outside and seeing men in kilts. This is something else.
Hey, it's incredible. For me, I grew up in Manchester, New Hampshire. I went to Boston College. New England is my home. It's in my blood. And I've always felt like I've had to fight the good fight. Soccer was never popular growing up. Ted, we were too busy watching the Patriots do their work, the Red Sox, the Bruins. And I always felt like I had to prove to everybody, hey, soccer's a cool sport. It's a global sport. And now it feels like the Bostonians are understanding that through their experiences with the Scots. It's a generational celebration. Everybody's getting an understanding now of why, having people visit and bringing their songs, their clothing, their food, their traditions, their personalities into a city like Boston is such a fantastic experience.
It's been, definitely, we've talked about how they're like, they're kind of putting American fans to shame, sports fans. It's a new level. It's an extreme type of fan, isn't it, Charlie?
So I left Boston College to go play in Stockholm, Sweden, and then I went to France and Denmark, and everyone always asked me, is it that much different playing soccer in Europe than it is in the United States? And the answer is 1,000%, and you're getting to understand why, because it's so much more than sports. It's a religion. It's what brings people together. It's what brings communities together. And I've been very fortunate to play in front of some of the greatest fans in the world. If you go to Stockholm, Sweden, you get to go to a Hammarby game in the south of Stockholm. You will be amazed at what it means to these people week in and week out. When you win, free food, you go to places, you get free drinks, and when you lose, you better stay at home and make sure that you get a win the next time you play in front of your fans.
Well, Charlie, this was the first game from the U.S. men's national team was definitely not something that I expected. I mean, I hate to say it, but you didn't expect greatness coming out of them, and what we saw was a team that was dominant. And I don't know whether or not I don't know enough about the team or what I watched to figure out whether or not they're actually that good or this was a fluke. What can you tell us about this American team and what our expectations should be?
Well, I think there are a lot of people in the same boat as you were in terms of not knowing what to expect from this U.S. team now. But after watching them play against the Paraguay side, now Paraguay is not France and they're not Argentina. Okay, so there can be two truths when it comes to this performance. Paraguay are not the best team, but they are a resilient team and a tough team to score goals on. So the fact that the U.S. scored 4 against Paraguay is something to be said. That's a tremendous accomplishment. In saying that, I think the U.S. are on an incredible path. That's a great start to the tournament. They set the tone. And so this is a team, if they're playing the way they did against Paraguay, there's no reason why they shouldn't be in the quarterfinal at least, which is the ultimate, I think, barometer for success for this group.
Charlie, considering how big, you know, the United States is, I mean, it feels like the game should be more advanced than it's than it is maybe at this point. I'm just curious what you think about that and how do we get, you know, better, you know, teams? Because, I mean, the athletes, we have so many athletes in this country, but yet, you know, our soccer team maybe isn't up to where it needs to be. And I'm just curious what you think if this new college soccer schedule system, I guess they're going to a two-semester, year-round model for Division I men's soccer starting, you know, in next year. And if you think that's going to help, or just how do we kind of identify the better players in this country so that we can put a better team out there?
Well, I think it's important to note, we're probably 100 years behind the rest of the world, you know, because the last World Cup that the U.S. really had a significant impact was 1990. Before that, it was 1950. So there's a 40-year gap. We're talking about generation on generation on generation. And so, you know, growing up, I think you found some people that were, you know, well-versed in the game, but there weren't a number of top coaches around the country. Now we're looking at 2026. It feels like there are a number of top coaches and the infrastructure is improved drastically. So I don't think it's not going to be too long before you're starting to see a U.S. team that can really realistically be in a semifinal of a World Cup. Because in 2009, we got to the finals of the Confederations Cup and we beat Spain in the semifinal, and Spain hadn't lost in 2 years and they won the 2010 World Cup. So we're right there. And I think the college setup now changing now is going to be seen as a place where you can go to develop, because realistically a college season in 3 months and you're playing every 2 days and you're playing in on turf and your kids can't really, you know, have training. So the practices aren't really beneficial for kids. You're just trying to manage time. It's not great. So if you're in the pro environment, you're saying if you go to college, you're setting yourself back. That's not a place you want to go. Whereas now you can look at it and say, okay, this is more of a holistic approach. Now guys can really train. Coaches have the freedom to really practice and train and grow kids. So I'm all for it.
Hey, Charlie, of the three great stars we saw yesterday with Kylian Mbappe and Haaland here in Boston and Messi, who's the best of that group and why? Like, what separates them or those three from the rest of the pack?
Well, can we really have this type of debate when Lionel Messi has now scored in 5 World Cups? He has scored now a record 16 goals. He's tied for the most goals ever scored in a World Cup in total. And Messi is just, he's in a different planet. He's in a different category. Now, with that being said, Kylian Mbappe, you know, at such a young age, had won a World Cup in 2018. He scored a hat trick in the last World Cup final against Argentina and Lionel Messi. So he still has another World Cup or two in his future. But Messi is in a whole different category of fish. I mean, this is a really special player. He's the Michael Jordan. He's the Tom Brady for anybody here listening in New England that maybe isn't too familiar with where Messi is in terms of all-time greats. He's the first player probably etched in. I don't want no disrespect to Pele, because Pele was you know, the kid who scored at 17 years old in a World Cup final. He's the youngest player to score in a World Cup and the youngest player to score in a World Cup final. So maybe Pele's one for me just on that historical piece, but Messi is right there as number two.
Charlie, tell us what chances our Scottish friends have.
Huh. You know, I love the Scots, and I love the energy, and I love how the Bostonians have embraced them, but I love how they've also embraced Boston. And by the way, I think there are a number of people who said, oh my God, the World Cup's going to add so much traffic and boo World Cup and boo soccer. And now people can't get enough. I can't tell you how many Bostonians have said, I don't want this World Cup to end. I don't want the Scots to leave. And by the way, the Moroccans and the Iraqis and the Haitians have been incredible as well. And they all clean up after themselves. So not only do they spend all the money here in Boston and help our small businesses and help our cities continue to grow and thrive, but they also clean up after themselves. And there's been no violence and no fighting. So let's make that first and foremost how great it's been for the world to come visit Boston. But I think the Scots will get out of the group for sure, you know, whether it's first, second, or third, because there's eight third-place teams will advance out of the group stage. So that's great for the Scots. They're going to continue to live at least one more day after the group stage.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. We had one of the radio hosts here, Kat, and she's covering the Scotland team. And just when we played in her headphones, the crowd singing their national anthem, she started tearing up. If they make it out of the group, I mean, it's going to be a lot of grown men crying. There's going to be a lot of kilts of flying all over Faneuil Hall.
Just think, a small country like Cape Verde, they get a point against Spain because they tied 0-0.
Yeah,
Everybody's crying. You know, a team like Curaçao, they lose 7-1, but they scored that one goal. Everybody's crying.
Yep.
You're just so happy to be in the conversation, to have your country be highlighted around the globe. It's just an incredible tournament.
Well, Charlie Davies, we'll check in with you as this thing moves on. And as I said, you know, if America continues to impress, I mean, no one expected that. None. But if they don't, my heart's with Scotland.
But Charlie, would it be, I mean, if the U.S. men's national team does show out, doesn't it just help so much to, as far as inspire kids to want to play the game? It'd be huge if they could do that, right?
Yeah. I went to 1994 World Cup, and I went to South Korea, Bolivia. I had no idea about the game of soccer. I'd never seen it played. I'd never heard of those countries. And the game of 0-0 was the worst game of that World Cup. It happened to be here in Foxborough. And I was inspired for the rest of my life. I said, this is what I want to do. So imagine the U.S. now doing incredible things and making a long run in this tournament. By the way, you guys might be talking about the New England Revolution over the Patriots and the Red Sox and the Bruins, and then that's when we'll say, hey, soccer has made it.
I would temper the expectations a little bit.
I can hold my breath.
hey, can we all dream here? Come on.
You can all dream.
Yes, we can. Yes, there are some dreams.
Why stop here with the Scots? Let's talk about the Revolution more, huh?
There we go.
That's right. All right. Well, Charlie, great stuff, man. We'll keep in touch with you throughout the World Cup, buddy. Hey, I appreciate you calling
Thanks, Charlie.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thanks, bud. By the way, Wiggy said something this morning, Ted, that might be controversial in your eyes. I can't wait to hear your reaction to this. We will get to that right after this.